So this is all about authors and writers. We're sponsored by the Ohio Writers Guild, and I have a co-mod with me today, Sandy Kachurik, and also Sally Sutter. So the three of us kind of moderate this particular group. And so I just want to share with everyone what we're doing is that we just want to encourage you to take your next best step, whatever that is, to getting published. And then once you're published, of course, that's just the beginning of the story. Because once you're published, then you have to figure out, how am I going to sell this thing? How am I going to get people to come and want to buy what I've written? And so there's all kinds of ways we can do that. So the first thing that I want to do is I want to tell you a little bit about me and why I'm doing this. I started this group and I have an online academy. And in my online academy, we have a series of modules that you can go through, and it's $25 a month, and it's a membership fee. And then every month, we keep adding amazing folks to the modules, like Brenda. And we're going to be talking to Brenda today, and she is going to share about our topic, and that upload is going to go into the actual module. So that replay will be there for you anytime if you want to go back and re-listen and get information. But before we get started, I'm actually going to share my screen and I'm going to show you how to find the information. So bear with me until I get to the proper screen here. This is my homepage. And when you, I'm going to make it over to the public so you can see it the way you would see it. So when you go into either kathybenner.com or the Kathy Benner International Academy, both of them take you to the exact same homepage. And the reason for that, and for those of us that do our own stuff, you'll get it. I had two separate sites and then I merged them together to try to simplify. So I've directed both URLs to my same homepage. So you only need to remember kathybenner.com. That's the short and sweet one. And you can get right to this homepage. But then you'll see here, there is a section where you can click and you can become a member for just one low price. And this is what that page looks like. And you can simply scroll down. It shows everything that's in the academy. And then you can join for $25 a month or for $240 a year. So you can decide how you want to do that if you want to join. Now, we have a bunch of free stuff in here as well. So if you sign up and have a teachable profile, you don't even have to pay the $25 a month, because every single topic, like health and wellness, is one. When I click the more button, you'll see real estate investors, entrepreneurs and solopreneurs, authors and writers. This is where we are today. And then networking and connecting. And then it goes from there. But when you click on the authors and writers, if you just have a free teachable account, you can get in to all of our replays. You don't have to pay to be in the membership to get the replays. And so this is actually where we are today. This is where the upload or the replay is going to go once we're finished today, is right here in the 2024 free Authors and Writers, Ohio Writers Guild, and Newbie Bloggers. So that's where everything's going to go. But when I look at the course, and this is kind of, I just want to give you an overview. When you look at the course, it will tell you everything that we're talking about: choosing a publishing route, editing your draft, getting feedback, titling your manuscript, formatting your book. Now, this is today's topic, is formatting, and that's what we're going to talk with Brenda about. Then designing a book cover, writing a publisher-ready book description, creating a book launch plan, publishing your book to online retailers, and marketing your book to increase sales. So those are the topics that we cover. And as we grow and as folks ask questions, I'm constantly adding new topics in there. So whenever we have several folks that have the same question, that's a trigger for me that I say, I need to go research that. I need to talk to folks like Brenda. I need to get some true, correct information that we can actually put in the academy. So this is for you. I want you guys to come down and always understand where you can find all this information. So I'm going to go back to, I have to move our faces here. I have to go back to the authors and writers again, because I want to show you here one more thing. When you click on the free ones, it is so simple to just scroll down past all of that about our free call. And this is all about me and Sandy and Sally. And then you scroll down, and here are the replays. And here is where we talked with Anne Blackburn about publishing. We talked to Barbara Sable about editing, Harmony Lovin. We talked about beta readers. And then we interviewed Kat Artemis last time, and we talked about book titles and how she titled her book. So you can come through here and listen to all these replays. So that's what I wanted to share. Again, it's kathybenner.com. I'll put it in the chat, but make a note of that if you want to go through and find those replays. So now I would like to turn it over to Sandy for just a moment. And Sandy's got some great stuff happening. And so I want Sandy to tell us a little bit about herself and what she brings to the table. Sandy.
Hi, thank you very, very much, Kathy. Hello, everyone, and welcome, and thank you for being here. I am Sandy Kaczurek, and I direct a writer's workshop amongst my own personal writing stories as well, and getting those out into the world. And this year, I feature, I do not do a lot of people. I do a concentrated number of very experienced and successfully published people in the writing world. This year, I have Jeffrey Marks. He is the publisher at Crippen and Landrieu Publishing Company in Cincinnati, Ohio. He is going to do a session on talking about query letters and book proposals, and then one about sharing in the history of the mystery genre, and so forth. The list goes on and on. And accompanying him for the whole weekend is a weekend writer's workshop. Accompanying him is Andrew Welsh Huggins, a mystery writer out of Columbus, Ohio, and he's well known for his private investigator Andy Hayes, who is an ex-OSU Buckeye quarterback doing his thing in downtown Columbus area, the German Village in particular, if you know that type of town in Columbus. And but he's also been Andrew has been an AP journalist in local news and economics for a very long time. So nonfiction is his background. Short fiction, long fiction, and Jeffrey Marks does mostly biographies of classic mystery writers, as well as short stories as well. And short stories will be a key too. But they'll talk about revision and how to make the nuts and bolts of it, so you can cut to the chase. Everything takes a lot longer than you ever want it to. You think, oh, I'm done with this story. Yay! And now what? Oh my God, I got to do it again and again. The other one is making research count. If you need to do research to write grants, to write fiction, to write nonfiction, short, long story, how do you make it count? Again, savor our time. You'll hear a lot of writers talk about, so I needed to know something about Lake Erie for my story. 3 hours later, and yeah, we get off on those tangents. And quite honestly, sometimes, again, it's a lot easier than forming the sentences. So that one session will talk about doing the research and making it count for what you need it to count for. Those two, again, they'll be there from Friday evening in Yellow Springs at the Mills Park Hotel for the whole weekend, because I make it where writers write their stories for the public, but sometimes they're kind of shy, or they don't want to raise their hand in a big group and show the whole group that they don't know as much as they wish they knew, or something like that, whatever the excuse. So if they're sitting next to the guest speaker, we all share lunch together on Saturday. That's included in the fee. And you might have that question and feel comfortable for that. And for a special guest this time, I have a 3-hour session with the Ohio audiobook narrators. They are the folks who professionally will take your story and put it into an audible form. And audible books are one of the sharpest and highest selling books on the market out there, formats. And they'll talk about how they will take your work and turn how what their process is to make it a professional audible book. They will show you if you want to do it at home, or there's something called whisper booths now in a lot of public libraries, and they're built so you can go in and do a podcast or do an audible tape something. So they will say what you need to do that job well. They will talk about let's say there's a lot of companies out there who will put a format of your book into audio, but can you trust the contract you're seeing? They're going to talk about the elements of a valid contract. And of course, in their world, as it is with a lot of writers in our world today, they're going to talk about the effect of artificial intelligence, AI, in the audible world. And when is the AI a useful tool to help you get somewhere as opposed to the tool that takes over and does it for you sort of thing? And how an audio company, a publishing company, there'll be four of them on that Saturday. And in the end, they're going to do a demo. They're going to take a couple people's, like a minute or two of their writing and show you their process. So when I get a writer or a publishing expert or a media expert, I drain them dry of all their talents and all their knowledge and say, oh, you're going to do this and do this. So I work hard that they can talk to the audience, that they can explain their craft and how they work it. And if you've never been to Yellow Springs, that in itself is its own draw. Do type in Yellow Springs, Ohio. I do give folks a little bit of time to get out there and walk the streets and take in meals. But in addition to all that, the extras, for an extra fee, Andrew Welsh Huggins will critique your first 5 to 10 pages of your story and then do an in-text credit edit and then sit with you for up to 15 minutes outside of session time and talk with you about those first 10 pages. Jeffrey will do the same for a query letter. Now you may think, wait a minute, 10 pages, one query letter. Well, if you're going traditional publishing and you're an agent and going for an agent or a professional editor, the only way you can get there is through a query letter. So here you are writing an 80,000 plus story and you're writing a little one-page query letter to give that thing a traditional home. So it better be the best query letter ever. Jeffrey looks and reads them all the time because of his publishing role. So he's going to do that for an extra fee as well, 15 minutes in text edits too. On Saturday night, but wait, there's more. On Saturday night, we do a book sale from 7 to 9, and I'm opening this up to any of the registered guests, registered participants, and they can sell one book because I don't know if I have the room for everybody to take over a banquet hall table that we use. But I was just talking to a gal, Epic Bookstore is an iconic store in Yellow Springs. She comes out and sets up a table and she's willing to cut her price. She will take 20% of any of books sold. So if a writer has more books they want to sell than just the one they're choosing of their own, she's more than happy to handle it for them. So we do that. And lastly, open mic reading from about 9 to 11. Our guests can come up and read up to 7 minutes of a story that they have written. For both the book sales and the open mic readings, I open it up to the public, to the community, so they can come in. There's a cash bar, there's a beverage center, and we're adding snacks to the table too. So it's all in one, it's intense, it's great, and you come in and hopefully you leave feeling so much better about where you're going next with your writing. Thank you very much for asking.
Sandy, thank you. I have been to the Writers Workshop. It is amazing. We are with the Kathy Binner International Academy. We are making that one of our tribe trips. And so if anyone is interested, get in touch with Sandy. And I haven't put my information in the chat yet, but we'll all put our info in the chat. So anybody that wants to grab it there, you can. Or if you didn't, you can find it in the replay. I am now going to let Sally tell us a little bit. And Sally wanted to share and show something that she is doing that's brand new. Sally, I've made you a co-host already, so you should be able to share your screen.
Okay. My name is Sally Sutter. As you know, I own Mermaid Travel. I have not written a book, but I have written articles. And I just came up with just a rebranding type of thing for my blog. So I'm going to see if I can share that.
And while Sally is doing that, I just want to say this. Everybody, please just start, even if you're going to blog or if you're going to write a story, because you will get clarity as you start. If you're waiting to get clarity, you'll never pull the trigger. You'll just keep thinking, well, should I do it this way? Should I do it that way? Should I write this? Should I write that? So just get started. And that's what Sally did, is, and she published her blog and was blogging along. And as her world evolves, so does her blog. So back over to Sally.
Yep. Well, here it is. I thought that I would start in several. I mean, I think even you, Kathy, has suggested that I start like an advice, a travel form. And so I worked on it last week. I worked on it yesterday. And this is what I came up with. So this is, and I use Canva, you know, so I can use Canva, and I'll show you that too. I can use Canva to set like the Facebook post. And then I do what you do, Kathy, and say, see more and provide that link. I haven't published this yet. So it's just about the real ID that's happening May 7th, 2025, or supposed to. So I thought it's time for people to get going with that. You know, so there's things they need to know. And I was able to put like a PDF link for what documents you need. I taught myself to do that. And of course, my links here.
Now, does everybody know what the real ID is? Do we have anybody that doesn't know?
No. I don't know.
A driver's license. Oh. And you're going to have to need a real ID. Well, I explain it right here. You're going to have a real ID in order to fly domestically or to get into federal government buildings or such.
It came out a couple of years ago and they gave a deadline. And so the
deadline's been pushed. It was, I think, it's been pushed back. So this is what I'm intending to publish Wednesday.
Good. I like the colors very much so.
Yeah. Kathy actually set that up for me.
Good.
So, and then I get out of this. And this is my Facebook post.
Good.
So I'll put the link. Mm-hmm. You know what scares me the most? This is Mermaid Travel's weekly travel form. So
you're putting the word weekly in there. So you're making a commitment. Is that what I hear?
I am making a commitment. And you know what I use? I'd like to use Canva. And I was able to use.
I do too.
MagicWrite. I don't know if you've used that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It takes what you've written. It's AI, but. I didn't like most of the things that came up, but my original title was Get Into the Swim of Things with Mermaid Travel. And I liked this so much more. Mm-hmm. So that's what AI came up with. So.
And you know what? And that's how I like to use AI. Use it as a tool. You know, just use it as a tool. I love it to trigger some ideas and some thoughts. And then I like to put it away and then write my own. To go with maybe some of those thoughts that I have. So I love that dive into adventure. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just got out of Canva. I don't know what I was going for. Oh, I also came up with a newsletter.
Nice.
That I can send out with all my trips on it this year, next year, and like Iceland in 2026. So sending that out. I know you can't see it very well, but all of this I did on Canva.
I love it.
Which I'd love. Yeah. And thank you for letting me share.
Oh, that's good. Congratulations. All right. That's quite an accomplishment.
Yes. Sally. Yes, Sally, thank you for sharing that. That is wonderful. I love it.
Oh, next week, I'm going to talk about enhanced driver's license. Which is different than real ID. So,
Yeah. Again, that was launched a couple of years ago. They kept pushing the deadline out. And what's going to happen for those of you that don't do this often, pull out your driver's license and see when the renewal date is and be ready because you're going to show up to renew and they're going to go, oh, we can't do that until you bring these other documents with you. And
they won't take any driver's license that was issued after 2018 will not be accepted after May 7th, 2025.
Yeah.
Now
so
you got
just
me so curious. I'm going to have to whip mine out.
She's going to pull hers out and see when it renews.
Same here.
But be prepared because, you know, you're going to get over there. And if you're like me and, you know, and you're running into the DMV at the midnight hour to renew your license, and then they go, oh, sorry, you got to bring
You're going to need
documents.
These documents. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in my blog, there's a link to the PDF that lists all the documents you need to take. If you have
all
a
right.
passport, a lot of those are.
Oh, good.
Yep. I love that. I love that. So Sally, put your blog in the chat so folks can go over there. Make sure it says to everyone. And that way, if folks want to go to your blog to get that link, they can. That'll be a fast way for them to find that link and see exactly what they need. So thank you so much. So Brenda, is your driver's license okay? Or you?
It is. And that explains why they asked for, you know, when I went in last time, they were like, we need your birth certificate. I'm like, it's the same. I'm the same person I've been for the last 20 years. Like, what? Are you kidding me right now? And yeah, that explains it. And so I was not able to renew then, which is really silly because I was able to do it online without that document. So my driver's license isn't up for renewal again until 2022. So I guess I'm good with that.
Oh, it's 2024.
Oh, it is. No, let me see what it says. Yeah, don't tell me that.
I'm you excited. Probably
2030. Okay. I renewed it in 2022.
Okay.
You won't be able to use that license if you fly domestically.
After
May 7th, 2025.
Unless you have a passport.
It has a star on it. Does your...
It does. It does in my in the corner. Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's a real ID.
So I'm good. Okay. All right.
All right. So anyhow, it's just okay. Good to know. This is great information, Sally. Thank you for that. Yes. And so this is what I want to say. We all have a message, and Sally is all about travel, and she is helping get the message out to make your travel easier. So every one of us that have a message, I just want to tell you, your audience is already out there. Your audience is already there. They're just waiting for you to bring the necessary information that they're looking for. Your audience is already there. We go back and ask ourselves all the time, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg, you know, so should I do this and then try to find an audience? Well, if there is something on your heart and you feel a passion about any particular topic, that tells me that your audience is already there. And we won't get into that whole universal mindset and all of that, but trust me, your audience is there. So just simply start. And that's my tagline. Just simply start. But today we want to talk to Brenda, and we're talking all about book formatting. So before I ask you your first question, which is, what is the biggest mistake you see authors make? Give us just a kind of an overview of what formatting means. So for those that haven't gone down that path of trying to get something published, they might go, I don't even know what they're talking about. So
sure.
What does actually formatting mean? And then what is the biggest mistake you see authors make?
Okay. One, this is a great question because it means different things to different people, right? So when you talk book formatting, some people are talking about how they format it in their Word document before they send it to their editor. That's not what we're talking about today. We will a little bit. But what we're really talking about is your interior design, what your book looks like inside once it's published. This is the formatting that we're actually talking about today. And the biggest mistake I see, well, I see a lot of mistakes, unfortunately. The most costly mistake I think people make is one, not seeking a professional, trying to do it themselves. It screams self-published because they don't include the right things in it or in the right order. Or I've seen people put, literally, I've had clients send me their books. Like, we want you to help us. And they'll send me their, what they already did. And I'm like, okay, yes, I will help you. Copyright written on every single page of the book. No, no, no. That's not how we publish books. And so by getting it professionally done inside, the interior done, it's just going to shine. Your book's going to shine. But the biggest costly mistake I see is people not putting their permissions in their book. I see it all the time. And this could really come back to bite you. It could come back. You could have to remove your book from marketing, you know, pull it from stores, pull it from Amazon. All of those things could happen to you. So it could be very, very costly if you don't include permissions. So I publish a lot of Christian-based books and I see it all the time. People are like, well, I heard that you don't have to ask permission to use the Bible because it's public. You know, people are like, it's public domain. I'm like, no, actually it's not. You do have to get permission, but most Bibles versions will give it to you at no cost. You go onto their website, just type in permissions, whatever version you're using, and you'll usually get the little blurb. And it's you copy and paste it into your copyright page. But because it's so readily, you know, people misunderstand what that means. And so don't misunderstand. You still need to put it in your book. They give you permission, but you still need to put it in your book. And you don't, it's not something you have to write a letter. Some, you know, when you're getting permission from other authors or other publishers, things like that, you have to write a letter normally. But for the Bible versions, you don't have to write a letter. You just have to Google permissions, you know, NLT, King James, whatever it is you're using, grab that permissions and stick it on your copyright page and you'll be covered. But that's the most costly mistake I see people make, because it could really, really come back to haunt them.
Brenda, that is great advice. Give the folks a little bit of background about what it is, just an overview of why we ask you to actually talk about formatting. What gives you the authority to actually talk to us about formatting a published book?
Sure, that's a great question. So I published my first book in 2018 with the help of a vanity press. I went on to become a coach for that vanity press and then become the president of the company for that vanity press. And through that entire process, I learned a lot, what to do, what not to do. And my passion really started, the reason why I took the position in the first place, because I didn't intend, when my first book is Save the Butter Tubs, Discover Your Worth in a Disposable World. It's a Christian-based memoir book. It's self-help. You know, it's not a book about writing books. And that was not my intention to help writers. But after going through this process, I saw a lot of gaps in the process that I felt needed to be fixed. I wanted to help authors like myself. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to accept this job. The biggest mistake I made with this book was the letters that are in white that you can see nice and crisp. They were actually in red originally on the cover. I wish I had one of those laying around to show you, because it was very muddy and you couldn't see it. It looked great on a backlit computer screen, but it looked awful in print. And it was a very costly mistake because I printed all my marketing materials in that same red, including my banners and business cards and the whole hoopla. And then when the first time I noticed it, because the first piece I got of that marketing material was my banner. And I extended that nice tall banner up and I went, oh no, that's, and you know, your heart, it's your baby, right? And so my heart just broke. And I thought, now what am I going to do? I've got truckloads of books coming, pallets coming to my house with this cover. What am I going to do? And so my original intention was to set out to be just a cover coach and to help people with their book covers. I see a lot of people make mistakes with book covers, and that's not the topic for today, but you know, just using a static picture, they'll throw it up and then everybody's got the same picture available. And I see just a lot of mistakes. So that was my original. I thought I could help be a cover coach. And then it just transitioned on to other parts. And before I know it, 10 books later, over 80 books to be written on my to be written list. I now coach authors through my membership. I do private coaching. I do membership coaching. And then I also just recently launched a writer's retreat box where you actually, it's a subscription box service where you get a retreat in the mail every month, curated around a specific theme and specifically for Christian women writers, because it's biblically based. And so I'm all in for authors. Never did I think, I was not one of those kids, Kathy. I did not read growing up. So I have binocular vision malfunction. I can't, my eyes don't adjust at the same rate. And so I was really sleepy as a reader growing up. And so I did not enjoy reading. I'm not a fiction reader. I'm learning to be. I'm dabbling in some fiction here and there because I'd like to try writing it someday. But so I never found anything I enjoyed reading as a kid. And it wasn't until I was 19 years old that I read my first book by choice, which was actually fiction. And I thought, maybe there's something here. And then I started reading memoirs and autobiographies and self-help and went, wait a minute, I'm really enjoying all this reading stuff. But I still never dreamt that I would be an author, first of all, or an author of over 10 books and counting and now helping authors publish their books. So it's a great place to be. And I love what I do every single day. I count it a blessing when someone else's book launches into the world, or I help other writers become writers. I've co-authored with some writers who never would have, you know, my daughter would have never published a book. My business partner, former business partner, who just bought me out, our HR books at the top, we published an HR series together. She would have never done that had I not planted the seed of, hey, you know, we have a really good process here. We should write books. Published it. She ended up buying out that whole side of my company, which was fabulous. And so, and you know, doing that and helping people see what's possible with books is really exciting to me.
Well, Brenda, it just goes to show that you have to get started, and it's because you started down that path. And now look at the clip. And again, your world is still going to evolve.
Yes. Yes. And you know, it really has evolved. Like when I started, I first felt called to write in 2003. I met with traditional publishers. They told me I was a nobody. Come back when you're somebody, you know, build up your platform. In 2003, come on, y'all. There was no Facebook. There was no social media, you know. Then I fast forward. My grandmother asked me to write. Well, after I was rejected, I went back to college and started writing for the paper because I wasn't going to give up on writing. And then I sent some newspaper articles home to my grandmother, and she asked me to write about all the good in her life, hence Save the Butter Tubs. That's her story of knowing her worth while I discovered my worth. And I never would have gone that path. Like I thought I was headed this way. And because I didn't give up, I just kept writing here and here and here and here. Then it all came together. So yes, just start, just start.
Yep. I love that. Yep. Now, what do writers receive from working with you that they might miss working with another writing coach?
Yes, that's a great question because I do see it often. I am actively publishing my own work all the time. So like I said, I have 80 books that I'm on my to be written list. I'm actively writing a book at any given time. I've published journals, Bible study, memoir, reference books, audio, you name it, I'm doing it. And so I'm actively in the industry, which is changing all the time. You might publish 1 year, you're getting one thing through the distribution channels. 2 months later, you publish again, you're getting a whole different something else through the distribution channels. And so because I'm actively working in the industry myself, I'm able to coach my authors through what I'm seeing and experiencing firsthand. I often see business coaches who maybe they have one book out and they've published and they're like, hey, I'm an author now, let's teach this. And they're really not qualified to teach it, or, you know, maybe whatever it is. And so because I'm actively in the industry, they're getting fresh firsthand information at any given time. And they're learning from my mistakes as I go. And they're learning, you know, from the wins and celebrating those as they go. So it's a lot of fun to be active with my members.
And it changes. It you does. Know, I mean, what you did on one book, sometimes, you know, the platforms that you're working Absolutely. With, that things change. And so if you're only publishing occasionally, mm-hmm. you're like, well, that's not how that's supposed to work. It didn't work that way right. last time.
Right. So, or if the person, the front of the face, right, the person doing the coaching isn't actually doing the behind the scenes work at all. They're right. not the one uploading. They're not the one, they might not have the answers for you. So while I have a team of people who help me, I am actually in there doing some of those things for my own books as well. So if people are like, well, what button do I push on KDP for this? I likely know the answer because I just did it.
I love that. What's something you wish you knew about interior book design prior to publishing that first book, Save the Butter Tubs?
Yes. So what I wish I, and this goes for fiction or nonfiction, a lot of times people will say, well, there's such a difference. And this is almost a twofold. And I think this might answer another question I gave you as well. But with my first book, like I said, it's a memoir, but I intended to do coaching and speaking. I do all of that around this book and around the topic of this book. So I was smart enough to put back ads in the back of the book. What I didn't realize at the time was how important it was to put a front ad in the book. So of course, now I've gone back to do that. And this is why that is so important. So if you see this front ad, you've got take an assessment. The reason why this is so important is because if someone goes onto Amazon and they look inside this book, they're going to see the first 25% of the book most of the time. They're now going to see my front ad. They're now, maybe they might not buy the book. Maybe they're not sold on it yet, but they're going to give me their email address in exchange for my opt-in. And now I have the chance to follow up with them. to see if they did purchase the book. Do they have any questions? All of those things. So what I wish I would have known, this is a version number three, I think, of this book, was to include that and how important it is in the writing process. Like what is the opt-in and how does it actually tie into your book? And that's something I coach my authors through on a regular basis because it can be a lot of different things. I mean, think about all the different opt-ins you've seen out in the world, right? It can be a lot of different things, but it really needs to tie into your book, apply to your reader and help them through the buyer's journey, right? It's, if it's just some random, you know, give me your email address. They're not going to, nobody wants to give that up these days, right? It's precious. Like how many things do you delete in your inbox every day, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to give their email address up. So it really needs to be something valuable that they'll exchange for. But I wish I would have known that the first go round. So
good information. Now you say you work a lot with Christian authors. What other, any other types of writers you work with?
Yes. So I, in my coaching, I will work with any type of author. If they need an imprint, if they need the publisher's name on their book, if they're not a Christian author and they don't fit under my imprint, we will help them set up under their own imprint. Even if they are a Christian author, I just had an author release her book last month and she set up her own imprint because she does plan on publishing more than one book and it makes sense for her to do that. But if you're a one-time author, you've only got one book in you at the moment, which I believe people have more than one in them. But if they only have one in them, and they fall under my branding, I will include them on my imprint, no problem. But if they're, I had an author come through the other day and she's like, well, I'm going to be real honest. And she started talking about her fiction book. And it was like, I was hearing a foreign language because she was talking about, I don't even know the names of the people in her world that she created. Like she was really sci-fi and out there, which is fine. Until she got to the murder and the sex and the drugs and the, you know, all that. And I was like, yeah, not quite under my imprint, but I have a great editor that will work with you and we can create your own imprint. And so I'm not against that. I don't, you know, censor people's writing in that way, but it's not going to fall under my branding. So if you're, I prefer to work with Christian women, but I have worked with men in the past and helped them publish their books. In fact, I have a great client who's came in right away, published his first book with me, and then just he's taken it, hit the ground running. I think he's on book 6 or 7 by now. So
I love that. Now, several on this call, not only are they writing a book, but they want to connect it to some sort of a business and make, mm-hmm. you know, monetize it somehow in addition to just selling the book.
Yeah.
So when back in your journey, you know, put your memory, you know, mm-hmm. tap into the memories there.
Yeah.
When you were writing that first book, Save the Butter Tubs, when did it occur to you that, hey, I might be able to monetize this in another way besides just writing the book? What was your thinking? What went on at that point when you decided mm-hmm. you were going to turn it into something more than just publishing a book?
Right. That's a great question, because the reason why I was attracted to the Vanity Press that I used to begin with was because they taught on that, because I knew that, I mean, let's think about it. This book right here retails for $11.99. Okay. I mean, it's what, $2 to print it. I'm making $9. How many books do you have to sell at $9 each profit to actually pay your bills? Right. So I knew that there had to be something more. Like, how do I get more income from one concept? And so I knew that there was more. I'm a speaker by trade. It comes out, right? My husband's like, I don't know how you get up in front of people and do that. But if it's a topic I'm passionate about, no problem. I can get up and speak for hours. And so I knew speaking was going to be one of the options for me, but I really enjoy coaching people. I really enjoy the light bulb moments. And so for me, it was a natural fit. Now, everybody is not out to be, not every author, please hear me, should not be a coach or a speaker. It's not for everybody. And that's okay. Figuring out those other streams is part of my job, right? So when I work with authors on that concept, is anybody frozen? Am I frozen? Okay. I thought
yep, somebody
was frozen. Mm-hmm. When I work with authors, I talk about over 26 different income streams and we help them kind of hone in. What is it that you want to do? And I know, Kathy, one big thing for you is to do, and I can't remember the term you use. It's not passive income, but it's kind of like a hands-off income, right? What's the term you mm-hmm. use?
Well, again, it is. It's a passive income mentor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so mm-hmm. it's really, let's do the work once and then step back and go enjoy our life traveling and doing what we mm-hmm. do, right? And so some people really want that lifestyle. And then if they've set themselves up as, oh, well, I have to coach and I have to be in my chair every week at this time and coaching all these clients, that's not the thing for them. And so really figuring out how, what's the lifestyle you want? What are, you know, do you want to travel? Do you not want to travel? Are you comfortable speaking in front of people? Do you want to speak in front of people? Do you just want to write a million books? Like, what do you actually want? And then helping them figure out and map that path is what I want. When I first started, I knew speaking and coaching was going to be it. I didn't realize I had as many books coming my way as I that God has for me. They come all the time. I'm always getting new ones. I don't write as fast as he thinks I do, I think. But I knew multiple streams or multiple books was in the future. And then it's just kind of evolved to now the box. I do retreats. I speak at workshops and all of the above. So the more diverse you can be as an author, the better, if that's what you want. If not, just write a lot of books one after another and get really good at it. Fiction authors are really good at that. You know, they get mm-hmm. in their groove and they can just pump out one after the other. You can do series that will really help you along. And that's one of the streams in and of itself is a series, and how I help authors figure out how to do that for nonfiction books, which is really important to me because it helps you sell more books. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Wonderful information. So I hope everybody's taken a lot of notes. This is good stuff. Now let's go back and talk about books again. Is there a rule that you break when it comes to the standard order of a book?
Yes. This is, again, goes back to the industry changing, right? When the standard order of books was first created back in the day, books
were primarily- describe what that is. Yeah, describe print. What that is. Yeah.
The standard order of a book is basically the order of the contents of your book. So for instance, the first thing that comes is usually endorsements. If you have endorsements, then you go on to a half title page, a full title page, you know, all of the little components that make up your book. And you can download a free one on my website. I have 4 free foundational tools, and this is the one for writing. It's the standard order. So you get it, it's in a template format, and it's everything that you could possibly need in your book. And then I tell my authors to just delete the things that you don't need. For instance, like if you don't have any graphs in your book or any illustrations, well, you don't need to index those. So you can take that index right out, right? You don't need that in your book. But if you do have that in your book, it needs to be in the right order. That's really important. Readers expect it. Publishers expect it if you're going traditional publishing. And so it's just really important to follow that standard. But the one rule that I break is because we are now in Amazon world, right? We are in mm-hmm. the Amazon world. And a lot of time, if you have your acknowledgments, which normally go in the front of your book, if you have a lengthy acknowledgments, your reader might never get to your book sample because they're going to see the first 25% of your book. They're going to see your endorsements. They're going to see your ad. Hopefully if you put one in the front, they're going to see all that information, and then they're going to get to your acknowledgments, and they're going to read all the way through, and they're going to see how you love Aunt Sue and you love Susie Q and you love, and they're never going to get to your book sample, and then they're going to click off and never buy. And so unless you really compelled them with your acknowledgments, which I doubt you did, right? Because acknowledgments are very personal, and it's not what they signed up to be reading. So I can't think of the word now. This thing. Dedications. Dedications go in the front. Dedications go in the front of the book. Acknowledgements go in the back. The difference is dedications are short and sweet. You can write a dedication to someone who maybe inspired you, but ideally, I like to write my dedication to who the book is for. So if, for instance, this book is for authors and it's to the brave who are ready to take action and share their stories, that's who my book is dedicated to. My acknowledgements, thank God, my family, my sister, my Susie, you know, all those people. And that's in the back of the book. And so that's the one rule I break on a regular basis because we're living in an Amazon world, and I want the best 25% to show up on Amazon that's going to sell more books.
That's a good point. Now, what happens if you're traditionally published? Are they going to make you put that in the front?
It depends on who you work with.
Okay. Okay.
It really does. They might want to stick to the traditional format, and then you might want to rethink how long your acknowledgments are.
Okay. Yeah. Good point. Yeah. Good point. What's a common misconception that writers have about formatting their book for publication?
Oh, yes.
What do you run across all the time?
All the time, authors are looking for the secret software to make their book perfect. What do I write in? And I always tell them, well, do you have a piece of paper and a pen? And they're like, what? I'm like, do you have a phone where you can speak? They're like, what? And I'm like, you don't need all the fancy softwares. You don't need them. So Word, if you have an HP, Pages, if you have a Mac, Google Docs are my best friend. I love Google Docs. Any of those will work just fine. Type your manuscript in, you know, 12 size, 12 font Times New Roman, no fancy formatting throughout, send it to your editor, and then let your interior designer do the rest. If you start doing too much inside, it's going to be costly when you get to interior design. If they have to start, you know, if you've put, we see this a lot, space, 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 space. So you're like, no, stop. It's a return, just a hard return, please. Or, you know, they'll try to center things by using the tab instead of centering. Yep. Like, just don't. Everything left aligned margin, just go straight down. And then when you get to interior designing, after it's been through editing, then let them make it pretty for you. If you want your chapter title centered, let them know, they'll do it. It's one click for them versus you having to figure it all out. That's the biggest misconception is people think they have to format it before they get to editing, before they get to, and they don't realize that interior design is really a step, that, you know, book formatting is really a step that should be done by professionals. You can do it on your own. I'm not against doing it on your own, but for me, it's just a matter of please do it professionally and know how to do that professionally. But if you need help with that, that's what I'm here for.
I love it. I love it. Now, if an author wants to have questions for their readers, and I've seen some books like this where it's one of these where maybe they're going to use it for a Bible study. And so they want to include questions for the readers that can actually work, make it almost like the published book and workbook all combined. Where do you suggest they put those questions and why?
Yeah. So I have a couple suggestions. If you're going to do a Bible study, this is a Bible study. You can put your questions, you know, throughout the book, just like a Bible study would be. So you have, you know, the devotion part, and then you have your questions all throughout the book. That works great, right? Devotions, questions, we're good. But if you're writing a true traditional memoir or self-help book, or even if you want a companion piece to your fiction book and you're like, I want to ask some questions, you can do two things. One, you can put them at the end of each chapter where it would fit. You can put them at the end of your book if it fits. Here's the question that I coach people on. Think about it from your reader's perspective. Where's your reader? How are they digesting the information that you're giving them? Do they need these questions right then and to answer those questions before they move on to the next section or chapter? Or can they wait until the end and do it all? And even if you put those questions at the end of every chapter, here's your free opt-in choice right here. Front ad, right? Grab the companion questions so you can print the printable questions, right? Because some people don't like to write in their books. Some people want to go through it all at once later. I personally soak in the tub most of the time while I read. Remember, I told you I'm a sleepy reader because of my eyes. So I can hopefully stay awake in the tub so I don't drown. But so I read a lot in the bathtub. Well, I can't write in my book and do all that in the bathtub. So I'm not going to stop and do those questions at the end of the chapter while I'm in the bathtub. But if I had the printable, downloadable version, when I get out, then I can go through and really take my time going through that material. So if you include them in the book, make sure that you also include some kind of printable, downloadable. Again, it gives you the opportunity to capture their email address. But if you're putting them in the book, make sure that you're putting them in a place that doesn't disrupt the reading, but it actually enhances the reading.
I love that. Now, another thing that just occurred to me is whenever you're putting links, you know, because remember, this is the written word. This isn't like our computer screen that we can just click on it. Mm-hmm. So make sure that when you put a link that it works, if they type that into their URL, and make sure it's something that you're going to keep, because this book is going to be in print out to the world. So make sure that that's a website or something that you own. Don't link them back to your Facebook page.
Yes, please don't. And you don't have to have your own website in order to link to, I mean, this is something we teach our authors how to, you know, if they don't want a full website, how to do all this. You don't have to do that. But if whatever URL you put there, it should really be in all lowercase. And I know that goes against your everything inside you, because you want to, you know, my website, brendahare.com, you want to put capital B, capital H, so it stands out, right? But some of those, when people go to enter them, they're trying to match your case. And sometimes it doesn't, the computer won't let it go. So if you just do everything in lowercase, they'll get there every time. If you decide, I really need to put it in uppercase, because if not, it spells some bad word or it spells some crazy thing. So it needs to be
too long and you need it to be a sentence instead of all these letters.
Yeah. So if they decide they're going to do an uppercase, everything before the .com can be, before the backslash can be case appropriate. Like, you know, it doesn't matter. Anything after that backslash has to be lowercase, or you're going to mess up your people's, trust me. Mistakes have been made, and you learn the hard way, and you're like, what? I did not know this was a thing. It's a thing. So if you can get away with your URL all lowercase, that much better.
I love that. All right. Let's say that I have my manuscript. I've listened to this particular podcast. I now know to do it all, you know, 12 point, my double space. I haven't been crazy about trying to format it myself, and I've got this completed manuscript. When I come to you, give me just some high points. What is it that you can do for me as a writer?
Well, first thing we're going to do is get it edited by a professional.
Okay.
Because you're not ready to.
But you have those editors in your back pocket. I don't have to find them.
Correct. Yes. Okay. I have vetted editors available that are affordable. That you can work with, and they work within different genres. So if you do have a specific genre, if you're writing a Christian book and you want somebody who understands that that address does not go with that scripture, I have that lady. But if you're looking, you know, don't go to interior design before you've been to editing. There's, for me, you edit before interior design, you proofread after interior design. So two different editors, you need at least at a minimum two. One before interior, one after. So that's the first thing we're going to do. We're going to pair you up with an editor. You pay them directly. You work with them directly. I just connect you with them. And so if you're there right now and you're like, okay, I'm ready. I need an editor today. Hit me up. I'll connect you with an editor and we'll get you moving forward. And then if you're ready to move to the next step for interior design, that's when we talk about, you know, pricing and that type of thing, what type of formats you're looking for, because that's, you know, determined on the price. But we can get you going, and it's pretty simple. The longest and most expensive thing to have done in your book is editing. And that's the one thing that people skip. And that's the one thing that's going to scream self-published, and that's the other thing that's going to hurt your book sales tremendously. So please, please, please edit your book properly. And by properly, I mean use a professional. I believe it was Sandy that said she was English teacher, had been in teaching. So she may be a great editor, or she may not be. And I don't know her, but she may or she may not be, right? Just because someone has an English degree, or just because someone went to college and studied English one time, does not make them a professional book editor. There's a very different mindset. She's shaking her head because she knows this, and she does, right? She's like, yes, it's very true, right? Just because you know the English language doesn't mean you know how to edit a book and what to look for, and especially the different types of editing, right? And once you get to proofreading, what are they looking for versus what were they looking for in line and copy edit? Very different. And so you just need to know that moving into it. But from editing, interior design, depending on the length of your book, about a week to 2 weeks, and then you're going to proofreading, and then we're moving on to the rest of it. While your book's in editing, if you haven't already secured a cover designer, I help with that as well. We would get that designed for you. And by the time you're done through proofreading, you're ready to launch that sucker, and we help you with the plan for that too. So we cover it all, from writing, publishing, marketing, and building the business on it, just based on what you need as an author what you want to do with your book and your message.
Wow, great information, Brenda. Where can folks get in touch with you?
The easiest thing to do is on my website, brendahair.com, and that's hair like the hair on your head, but with an E on the end, brendahair.com. And you can find my undersubscribe, my membership, as well as my writer's retreat box if you're interested in that. If you want to just shoot me an email, I'll actually just type my email in the comments if you don't mind.
Absolutely. You can put it in the chat. Make sure it's clicked to everyone.
Yes, ma'am. I'll just put it here in the comments. It's real easy. It's just speak to me. At brendahair.com. Oh, if I could spell my own last name right. There we go. If you're looking for an editor, you can just reach out that way as well. So I know Andrea had asked how she can connect with me. That's the easiest way to connect with me. I love working with my group clients, but I also do one-on-one coaching. If someone is like, I don't have time for group things, I need you to help me specifically. I do that, of course, as well.
Okay. Questions. Anybody have any questions for Brenda? We're just coming up on the top of the hour, but I want to open it up for questions.
And I love questions, so bring them on.
Debbie.
Brenda, you were very enlightening into a lot of questions that I have been harboring deep inside of me for quite a while.
Oh, wow.
And I almost think that that's probably a big portion of what's been holding me back. Sorry, Kathy.
No, I get it. I get it. I'm right there with you, Debbie. Debbie and I, we started a project together. We were going to write a chapter a month and we were going to hold each other accountable. And I don't know who disappointed whom the most because we both have fallen behind.
Is it a group project?
LIFE.
Oh, God.
But were y'all working on a project together or you were just working on an individual project?
Two separate books, two separate, mine was fiction, hers was a memoir, and we just were going to be accountable to keep each other motivated to continue to write. And you do, you start writing and you think, okay, I'm doing this thing. And then, you know, like me, I start to edit while I'm writing and I'm like, stop it. Just write. Editing is not my job. Writing is the job right now. And it is so hard because I think it's so ingrained in us, especially those of us that have been in the business world, where we're putting out emails and mm-hmm. and maybe we're writing modules or we're doing newsletters and you know, and we have to do the whole piece. We have to do the writing and the editing and mm-hmm. the publishing and the printing. And so it's hard to separate that in my brain. And so that's where I struggle the most.
That's why I love calls like this, because Debbie, the questions that you either didn't really know you had or subconsciously you had, but you weren't, you know, it wasn't coming to mind that that's what's holding you back. Group coaching is what, to me, I loved group coaching because it's like, oh, I did not even think of that question. That was a great question. Let me, you know, and I actually teach my authors how to take notes based on group coaching, because what you may be hearing today, you might not need for 6 months. And then how are you going to find it? So I teach people how to go back and find what they learned 6 months ago when they get to that stage as well.
Well, I appreciate that. And Kathy, you'll love this. You know, a while ago, I was doing a lot of posting on my Tales from a Fairy Garden, because I love fairies, right? And I was watching a program the other night, and it was like bolt of lightning, you know, northern lights, flashing bulbs. And I'm going, oh my gosh, I have all these posts and writings for that Facebook page. And I found the notebook with all of it. And I go, why don't I write a fairy tale book? I mean, really? I mean, that's mm-hmm. one of my passions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So question to you, Brenda, what do you find is popular in book writing? Where do you see a lot of your clients in what they do?
I think that's a mixed question. So what is popular in book writing or what is popular for readers?
Wow,
I think what's
point.
Popular in book writing is a lot of writers like to hang out and talk about writing, but they don't actually write, right? I think that's what's popular in the writing world. is we like to creatively avoid writing by talking about writing with other writers. It makes us feel very writer-ish. I know that's everybody says amen, right? But what's popular with readers, it's really genre specific. I mean, every genre has their fan base. And so I would, if you're interested in doing a fairy tale book or a book specifically about fairies, it can be to specific audiences. And I don't know which audience you're geared towards. If you want to write a children's book, or you want to write something fairy inspired for adult women, or you want to write a, you know, for teenagers, or who your audience is exactly. But I would encourage you to look at the market, go into the bookstores, go on Amazon, type in fairy books, fairy tale books, type it all in, and start looking and see where, what makes your heart jump, what says, oh, I like that one, I could do that. Because I think that's where you're going to find your audience, is it, where everybody already is. That's where it's, where the popularity comes in, right? And mm-hmm. What makes your heart jump is what's going to fuel you to keep going. Because if we just try to write to market, you know, if somebody says, oh, if you wrote this book right here, you would sell a million copies. Well, if you know, wanted to pull every hair on your head out trying to write that book, how fun is that? Nobody wants that. Mm-hmm. And so I think, and is there really any guarantee that you're going to sell it? And so find what's going to do both for you. Does okay. that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And okay. and that's what I wanted to know. And okay. you were right. I did ask a double-bladed question there. I'm glad you were able to, okay, dissect it. This is it. Okay, great. Got it. Thank you very much. I look forward to talking to you in the future.
Thank you. I look forward to it as well. Hope
yes,
I
just love this call. Brenda, I appreciate you so much. Is there any other questions we have? We've got some other folks. We've got some that have not come up to actually be on the platform with us today, but I have clicked you through where you can simply unmute and ask a question if you have one. Are there any other questions for Brenda? Brenda, how busy are you? Can you take a couple of folks? I mean, how many do you like?
As far as group coaching. Yep. Group coaching, I'm wide open. So people can come on and join the group coaching at any time. And just so you know how that program works, for those of you who are familiar with our former Vanity Press that we worked with, it is very similar to that in the aspect that there's a content library where you can get in, you can look at different things when you're ready, move through the content. And then there's coaching calls twice a week. So you get on our Q&A call on the second Wednesday of every month, where any question goes. If you can't make the call, we record the answers so you can come back and watch them. And then on the third Wednesday of the month, we do what we call a tech talk. So we talk primarily about tech related things that hang us up as authors, whether that's, you know, actually building a website, connecting social media, you know, two things, all of those kind of questions. And there's some overflow, you know, people's questions from the week mm-hmm. before we finish them on those calls and things like that. But you get coaching twice a month live like that. And then, you know, anything right now we're in a Facebook group. We're looking at potentially moving off of that platform, but I'm not sure exactly. The content library is moving to a new platform, which I'm really excited about. But the group coaching aspect right now, we're in a Facebook group. We may move either to Zoom or into another platform, but we'll see mm-hmm. how that plays out. But yeah, so group coaching wide open. As far as private clients, if someone's interested in a private client, I'm limited because that's, you know, hours in the seat. And I like my free lifestyle, so it is limited to a couple people. So I do have a couple slots open right now for that, for sure. And then writer's retreat boxes. That's another thing that is actually limited. So right now I have one spot left. If somebody wants to get in the writer's receive that subscription service, they can grab the last one to get in for June's box. May's box. I'm actually doing the reveal when I get off of here. I have one May box left, and I have some April's boxes left over that if anybody wants to sample that, they can grab one of those one-time boxes and sample that. But only one slot for the subscription right now, and then more slots will open in August. So that's, yeah.
So you have a lot going on. I love it. Yes.
Yeah. And how do you define Vanity Press?
That's a good question. How I define it and how they define it, it's probably two different things. Because I know the vanity press that I worked with, they called themselves a publisher. And I actually, when I started working there, you know, I was like, I work for a publisher. But the more I learned about the industry, I'm like, you know what, we're not actually a publisher. And so how I define a vanity press is them lending their name to you. So in some aspects, I am that. If someone borrows my imprint name to put on their book, I am a vanity press in that aspect. If someone takes royalties from you, they're more of a traditional publisher. Sometimes they can be a hybrid publisher where you're paying them money on the front end to help you with services, but then they're also taking royalties. So there's a lot of the field is muddied right now with a lot of different options.
We talked about that. We said there's one end of being totally self-published and one end of being totally traditionally published, and then there's a million and one hybrids in the middle.
Everything in between.
That's what I have found that you come in best at, because, you know, options and choices are wonderful, but when they are so varied and so complicated and they change from day to day, week to week, month to month, where can I go to find somebody who will make sense of it for me and for specifically what I'm doing and help clean that road that looks muddy, like you said?
Yes.
Great term for that. So,
Well, thank you. Thank you. I do want to be that person, because I don't think there's anything wrong with absolutely self-publishing, absolutely traditional publishing, or any of the ones in between. What I want to help people with is, one, not getting scammed by people, getting what they paid for, which is a huge thing for me. If you're paying to learn these things, then I hope you learn those things. If you're paying for marketing services, I hope you get those marketing services from whoever, you know. That's where the self-publishing industry has gotten a really bad rap. I'm working with an author right now who, she paid about $1,800 to work with a vanity press. They did not edit her book. They told her they edited it. And it was so bad that on her back cover copy, literally on the back cover copy, it says premise, the word premise. The premise is there. Author bio, the author bio is there. And I'm like, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah.
I mean, my heart breaks, right? And she paid all this. She was in tears. She was like, what am I supposed to do? And I'm like, well, first you need to complain to everybody under the sun to get, you know, so that people are made aware, the Better Business Bureau, whoever, because that's not right. And so she's, you know, republishing it with me, because I want people's books to look professional. It should look professional on the back, and they should have a good quality book that they can be proud of and happy with, without having to pay, you know, $20,000 for a book that they're probably not going to see the return on, specifically for the book. So I like
I have the secret question that I know everybody is pondering, and I know there's not any definite answer for this, but what kind of a price range, if somebody came to you and said, I want to get my memoir published, I want to get my manuscript published, how many of my pennies do I have to save before I call you?
Well, the good news is I have a monthly payment. So for me, it's a la carte. So you're paying for coaching. You're paying monthly for me to coach you, $97 a month for coaching. And that's for as long as you want or as short as you want. If you want to save money and pay the yearly, it's $9.97 for the year. And that gets you 12 months from the day you start. So you get 12 full months. However many books you want to publish in that 12 months is how fast you want to put your nose to the grindstone and get it done. And so that is one cost. Then we have the cost of interior design, cover design, editing. And the reason why it's a la carte is because it's specific to your book. It is, how many words are you publishing? I can't say I'm going to charge, you know, $5,000, and that's going to include editing and cover and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. They might only want an ebook. They might only want an ebook and a paperback. They might have 15,000 words, or they might have, an author the other day, over 100,000 words. So it's all dependent on how much you have, how much you want. You can come in and get the editing, cover, interior, all of that for around 2,000, under 2,000, easily. And then that's very easily to recoup your investment in selling and learning how to sell your book. So it is very doable. And, you know, I like it to feel good and be doable because that's what I yes. want, right?
Exactly. No, that's very doable. Yeah. And if yeah. anybody has that's on the call has done any investigating or shopping around, you'll realize that that is incredibly reasonable.
It is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah.
Any final questions, Debbie?
One quick question. Okay, I see all those great books behind you.
They're all mine. Thank you. Except for this one. It's a journal that was in my box. This one's a journal that was in, this was part of our retreat box. But all of these are mine that I've published.
So just quickly, because it's getting after 1 o'clock. For a person looking at your books and what you do, where would you suggest we start in buying your books? Because we're avid readers, you know?
Well, it depends on what you want to learn first. So, and where you are in the process, right? I have told people before, I taught a workshop and I covered a lot of the topic on this book and everybody was trying to snatch up the book. And I said, well, really, you just learned that today. So if you want to recap, buy the book. If you took good notes, you don't need the book. So this is the book that answers a lot of questions about, should I actually be writing a book? What am I jumping into? And because this was the question I got the most, I've been told I should write a book. So what should I do? You should read this and decide if you're willing to move forward or not, because it's a lot, right? So that's that book. And then the workbook, the writing, the book writing process is actually a workbook and it takes people through, I mean, it's a true workbook with the whole wow. kit and caboodle. And it takes people through the process of writing primarily a nonfiction book. Some of the same principles will apply to a fiction book, but it's geared for nonfiction and it walks you through the entire process mm-hmm. from, you know, what you should, that the frameworking, where you should put your ads, what should be on your ads, all that good stuff. These books up here are a series. So this is a Christian memoir. Again, me discovering my worth when my grandmother knew hers and it's her story with my story. Then I've got the journal that goes with it, the Bible study that goes with it. And then this was my second memoir that is written diary style, which is a lot of fun. And when God called me to, that's me on the cover of that. I don't know if you can see that. Prophetically yeah. dancing. I was like, what? You want me to do what? And so I documented it. Really enjoyed the diary style writing. And then if you have a company, those four books at the top are an HR series. So if you have a staff or know anyone who has a staff to work with, that's a series for HR for the person who's kind of thrust into that position. So there you
Thank
have it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And they're all, this series has another book coming in the series. This is a series and the author series is an ongoing series with actually 16 total books in it. If I could just write faster, it'd be amazing.
Thank you so much for sharing that information.
You're welcome. Thank you for asking.
This has been wonderful. Now, as our free gift to you, Brenda, when you first started talking, you said that being a speaker was not an issue for you. And that is a good thing because you are now going to be included in our speaker's cabinet. So oh, wow. anybody that needs a speaker, for anybody that's listening either today or to the replay, if you have a podcast or if you have a need to have a speaker, you can find speakers in our speaker's cabinet and Brenda will be included there. So please look you. For her in the speaker's cabinet and invite her to be on your podcast. And Sandy, I don't know about you, but I don't want to put words in your mouth, but this might be a great, where is she? This side on my call yeah. for maybe a writer's workshop down the road.
Like it. Oh yeah. My wheels are turning. Well, the other thing I've seen writers over the years, similar writers come through the writer's workshop year after year, and they're getting older and older. And for something is stopping them from getting to the end of their story. And it's almost as if, well, I wish I could hook them up with somebody who will take them through to the end. Mm-hmm. So you are a great resource. I will keep you in mind. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. That means a lot to me.
Brenda, where are you coming to us from geographically?
Yeah, I'm in Texas.
Wow. Nice.
Texas. Yes. I live about an hour and a half east of Dallas. I'm from San Antonio originally, which is 5 hours south of me now, but I'm about an hour and a half east of Dallas. I've been to Ohio a few times, attended that conference y'all talked about earlier for many years and worked with the company there. So been there many times. Beautiful neck of the woods you guys live in. I don't know where everybody else lives down below here, but the ladies who shared, it is beautiful up there, but I'm in the piney woods. So mine, where I live in Texas, does look very similar to where you guys live, but at least the part of Ohio I visited, Columbus area. But Texas, you know, it's, we've got our own world down here. We've got the beach, we've got the mountains, we got the desert. We've got it all. So
I love it. Well, thank you again. And I think we're going to sign off. And if anybody has any questions, you can direct them to Brenda. I'm sure there's a contact page on your site at, yes. brendahair.com.
Yep. Or they can just shoot me an email either way.
Okay, perfect. And with that, we're going to go for today and we'll see everybody next time. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for listening.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.